You are listening to episode 93 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, watching CEOs and silicon manufacturers. Speaking of a whole nother level of exciting.
I like it.
Let's talk about Zynga and how,
all right.
How exciting of a week they had.
Yeah.
So their stock was up like 20% this last week.
Nice. Did they come out with a new Farmville?
Nope.
Oh, what did they do?
Instead, they came out with a new CEO.
Oh, man.
Don
what
Matrick.
What sucker did they get to do that?
Taking over for Mark Pincus.
Okay. That's exciting. Kind of. Who is he?
He is the former Xbox boss.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he, he got denied the ability to have always online, to have the requirement of you must always be online, and the ability to thwart the resale market.
Yeah.
With Xbox. So he has switched to a company that requires you to be online all the time and has no products that they sell. You can't sell used games. So solve that problem.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I don't know if you've been paying attention to Zynga's stock much.
Hey man, they're one of the hometown companies. So yes, I have friends that are directly affected by the disaster that is Zynga right now.
Yes. Okay. It's been kind of a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
And so Don is coming on board to try to right the ship, if you will.
That's good.
And like I said, the stock jumped up like 20%. People were like, woohoo, yeah, it's going to be awesome. But then O.M. Malik, the founder of GigaOM, came out with a fairly scathing piece for why this will not go well, and which kind of lined up pretty well with BuzzFeed's thing as well, which they were like, again, they're like, it's going to go well. They said, how do I want to say it? So they're like, yeah, everyone was like, this is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It goes, except for the fact that this doesn't help them with their number one challenge at all, which is going mobile.
Yeah.
Like, and Matrick knows nothing about mobile.
Right.
And, yeah. And it was like, and furthermore, he's a creative person. It's like, and Zynga isn't really a creative company.
Right.
That's not how they work. It goes, and we'll take it one step further. Pincus is becoming the chief product officer. Okay? So he's in charge of the actual games that they're making. He's like, you know, the division that actually makes the games and the content. So from that perspective, what has changed for Zynga?
Yeah.
And then BuzzFeed wrote this. They were like, while that sounds good in theory of him coming on board, they're like, in practice, Pincus has a reputation for being a micromanager, unable to delegate responsibilities or empower his lieutenants. And then they said one of these sources said the fact that Pincus will hold the chief product officer title could seriously water down Metric's powers. So
yeah.
You're like, so yeah, he's like, so you go into the DNA, right? Where their whole thing is we are here to monetize games. He even on one of them, he goes, Pincus said, I don't care about innovation. He goes, you're not smarter than your competitor. Just copy what they do and do it until you get their numbers.
Wow.
If anything, he says, we're an analytics company masquerading as a games company.
All right.
And they're like, you don't go from that to, oh, we're creative now.
And leaving the same guy in charge of the products. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's interesting. I would say unless this is Pincus getting kicked out and he just doesn't know it yet. I mean, you know, he might think that he's pulling a Sergey and Brin, when he's actually pulling a Steve Jobs. we'll put you in part.
You know, it's funny, not in this article, but in another one, they talked about how a lot of these latest rounds of companies going public had the founders retaining a ridiculous amount of control of the company.
Yeah.
And Facebook was one of them. Zynga was another. What was the other one? Groupon was another one. And they were like, well, come to find out, maintaining a ton of control doesn't actually help.
Right.
Because you can still get kicked out. Fancy that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is that it's, you know, I mean, it's classic Steve Jobs, you know, it's, you know, and Steve Jobs it's funny. At the same time, he's the biggest warning to those guys, and he's also the biggest light, because it's like they, you know, everything I've read, you know, you talk to Steve Jobs, and it was the greatest travesty that had ever happened. But you talk to anybody that like worked around Steve Jobs, and they're like, no, it's the greatest thing that ever happened, because he was a torment. He was terrible. He caused problems, and by kicking him out and forcing him to grow up, he then developed all of these. You know, he took all the great skills and vision that he had, and then he coupled it with learning how to lead, you know, and it's entirely possible that guys like Pincus, you know, just needed to learn how to lead, guys like, or they need refinement on what's a good idea and what's not. You know, if you hit lucky without ever really learning that you can come up with bad ideas, sometimes that makes you a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not gonna remember. You know, it can make you overly confident in your abilities, and I think that, I don't know.
It's interesting. But according to Wall Street, they're like, "Woohoo! This is gonna be awesome," and it's kind of
I hate Wall Street. They're such a bad predictor of these sorts of things. Like, so often I find them reacting to news. It's like Samsung's, like, you know, their stock is just like taking a beating right now because their Galaxy phones aren't selling as well as they. Well, and actually, it's funny. I actually think like the one time it makes sense for the stock market to react maybe is when people aren't hitting their numbers. And Samsung's not hitting their numbers, but at the same time, like, it's just so short-sighted. They're so short-sighted. It's all about the quick buck. Like, it's just, you know, I think people are buying not because they think this is a good idea, but because they think, you know, the sell-off's going to be soon, and they want to own the stock when it's low before the sell-off so that they can, you know, make a quick buck. I don't know. I hope that it works out for them. And, you know, Xbox obviously has done exceedingly well. But at the same time, like Giga was saying, it's a totally different game. You know, excuse the pun. He's not, you know, mobile games are completely different than developing Xbox games and developing, not to mention that Xbox is a piece of hardware and a platform, whereas they're not developing a piece of hardware platform. They're developing, you know, they're developing and buying games and distributing games. I don't know. It's a, you know, he might be the perfect man for the job, but I don't think his success at the Xbox division is necessarily a predictor of success in this division. And I think that, you know, one of the things that really drives me nuts is that it's like I had these like crazy layovers and whatnot this last week. And I was joking with you because on the Thursday before I left, I spent like 20 minutes standing in front of the 3DS XL and thinking I should buy this because I want it and it sounds like fun. And I was going to buy like the latest Pokemon because I haven't played Pokemon in years. And
yeah,
I don't know. It just sounded like fun. It sounded like a good way to waste a couple of hours. And I didn't, and I kind of regretted it while I was sitting at the airport. I'm glad now that I survived that trip that I didn't spend the $300 on that whole setup.
Yeah.
But while I was sitting in the airport, I was like, maybe I can find an iPad game that'll give me something, you know, an approximation of that experience. And it might have been there, but I had no way of telling. Like, I found that it was very, very, very difficult to figure out what kind of a game I wanted to have. Even the slightest hint of the game I wanted, given the iPad game ecosystem, which was really disappointing because I feel like I could have played hours of some sort of a, you know, dumb role-playing game, and I just wasn't there.
Dumb. Wow.
Well,
but just insert your bias right there.
Well, you know what I mean? I don't know. I could have, I feel like, and I feel like Zynga just, they're fighting a battle. Like, it's, you know, how do you, or they're not fighting that battle pretty well. How do you get, I think the major problem is coming up with good, interesting games that people want and then differentiating them, getting them noticed. And nobody has figured out how to do that outside of getting to the top of the top 10 list, which the top 10 list has had the same stupid games on them for the last years. And then it's like, if I wasn't intrigued the first time, I'm not going to buy it the second time, and I'm not going to look to the second page of games. And what I'm going to do is not buy a game. And, you know, and especially, like, it's funny, at $5, I'm in this weird place where I think free games, my experience with free games are terrible. I get like 15 minutes of enjoyment out of them, or they're just really simple games, even if I play them, like, to their completion an hour later. And whereas what I really want is a more expansive, fun game, but I don't want to spend $5 on a game that's going to be, it's going to feel cheap and like I wasted my money and my time. So it's like, and so I'm like in this weird place of I want to spend money. I want a game that I have to spend money on, but I don't want to spend the money until I know I'm going to like the game. That is such a hard place to be, man. You know, and really just better advertising could be the trick. I actually think that that's a big part of Zynga's problem, is they do, like, virtually no advertising for their games. Like, you know, you look at Call of Duty. One of the reasons why people buy Call of Duty is because they do massive marketing campaigns and they make the game look fun. So even before you know, people buy the game before anybody's played it because of marketing, you know. And we bought SimCity because of marketing.
No.
You know. Well, you say no, but yes. I mean, it was, you watched the videos that were part of the, you know, that gave you the experience that lets you know what the game is going to be like. And that was a form of marketing. And it gave you an excitement about the game, and you went and bought it. And there's just none of that. There's none of that out of Zynga. I don't care if they have good games or not. I don't have any way of finding the games that I want to play. And because of that, I think they're going to have, you know, it's going to be difficult for them to find success. They got to play the Samsung game, which is build a good phone and then advertise the snot out of it. You know, and build a good game and then advertise it. Give it a budget to actually get it noticed by people so they go out and try it. You know, I think that's the trick, man. But they're not doing that, and I don't have any expectation that will change. You know.
I don't know either. It's possible with this new CEO. He goes, hey, let's try this.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah.
Real quick. I mean it when I say real quick. Twitter is going to start tracking you on the web unless you decide to opt out of it.
Yeah.
Opting out is super easy. Just sign in. Go to settings. You scroll down a little bit. There's a couple checkboxes. Make sure they're unchecked. First one says tailor Twitter based on my recent web visits, and then tailor ads based on information shared by ad partners. Save changes. Otherwise, Twitter will be tracking all the different websites and the things that you do online to make better ads. If you're not interested in that, opt out. That's how you do it.
Interesting. I don't have those checkboxes.
Me neither.
Okay.
Or, well, I mean, I have the boxes. They're just not checked.
No. I don't have the boxes.
Oh, you do.
Where are they? Under settings?
Yeah.
In my account?
On personalization. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, just the very first, like, whatever that... I don't know.
Tweet location, tweet media, tweet privacy, personalization. Oh, there we go.
Wait a second.
I get it. I see it. Yeah. Okay. And then promoted content. Tailor ads based on information shared by ad partners.
If you're not interested in personalization and promoted content, uncheck those boxes. You'll be good to go.
Well, tailor ads based on information shared by ad partners. I'm all right with that. That will just give me ads that are I'm not going to get rid of ads on Twitter. That's just going to give me ads that actually might, you know, have something to do with me.
Right. Sure.
Actually, okay. I'm not going to unclick either of those. They're just going to give me ads that I don't care about. That's stupid. I don't want to.
Okay. I'm whatever. Just not doing it for you.
I appreciate that.
Someone else is interested. I'm not interested in Twitter tracking your web habits outside of the tweet this button.
Well, see, and it's funny. I mean, it's one of those things where they're not. So I have for whatever reason, and it's not even for whatever reason. My logic behind it is, I don't want them selling my content. I want them storing it and doing something good with it. And doing something good with it to me is only giving me interesting information. And okay. That's what they claim that that's what they're doing. Now, mm-hmm. If they do that forever, I guess it's a different story. But we'll deal with that when it happens.
Okay. There you go.
Cool.
You got like 2 minutes.
Okay. Samsung bought Boxy. It's kind of like Roku or Apple TV. It's a content sharing streaming box service. Nobody knows what they're going to do with it. I'll bet you a bunch of money that it ends up incorporated into the PlayStation universe in some degree, and the software at least, and probably
why PlayStation.
Wow. Tired, man. That's why. Into their smart TVs. Jeez. Thank you for... into their smart TVs and probably into Tenzin or Teos or whatever their new operating system for their smartwatch and phones are going to be, and probably an Android app as well. But, you know, obviously the do whatever Apple's doing but try to do it a little bit faster than them, you know, thing is still in play.
That's their strategy.
It really is. So, you know, and the new Apple TV that I didn't buy an Apple TV today. I'm really proud of myself. I had to sit in an Apple store for an hour while they fixed my phone and didn't buy an Apple TV. Really?
Dang, I'm impressed.
I know. I nearly bought a Mac Mini though. but the Boxy, yeah. Yeah, I think it's one of those things that they're just trying to beef up their smart TV strategy and be prepared for whatever Apple's going to be, you know, releasing whenever they're going to release it. And yeah, that seems the obvious conclusion. And then also, yeah, that's all. I almost got to see the landing of the first transcontinental flight of a solar-powered plane, but. It's because I was at JFK when the airplane crashed in San Francisco, and I was trying to fly to San Francisco. They landed about 20 minutes after I took off, though. So,
oh, you were close.
I know.
That would have been amazing.
It would have been. Actually, the only problem is I had no idea it was happening until today. So I would have – well, you know what would have happened? I would have gotten onto the podcast and been like, I totally saw it. It was great. It was the greatest thing ever, and just lied. Make myself sound cooler, but since there's actual documentation that would prove that I didn't see it, I'm not going to lie to you people.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. but it did. That was pretty cool. Now we can have, and as somebody pointed out, now we have drones that never need to land. So that's exciting.
Yay.
Yeah. Always monitoring.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Good news, everybody.
Funny.
Pretty cool. It's actually, I mean, from a technological perspective and an energy consumption perspective, it's huge, especially because it could fly at night. So it's a big step in that sort of engineering. And you know, I'm sure we'll see more and more of that incorporated as time goes on.
It says it took them 18 hours and 23 minutes.
Yes, sir.
That's a long time.
It's true. That is a really long time. I would know. That's basically 6 hours less than it took me to get to.
Let's see. Let's just say, theoretically, you had a choice, right? You're flying across the U.S.
Yeah.
Which, would you say it took you 6 hours?
Yeah.
Flight time?
Ish, five-ish.
So, you know, you can do 6 hours. You got to pay for fuel, you know, all that stuff. Kill Mother Earth in the process. Or you could do a solar-powered, you know, alternative energy thing. It's going to take you, like, three times as long. But it's because you're not paying for gas, it's significantly cheaper. Like, significantly. You know, a third of the cost, maybe even less. Is that something that sounds compelling?
No. Okay. And this is my logic. Because I'm either trying to get somewhere... I either have a schedule that I'm trying to keep. Unless it's a really... Okay, I'll give you... I'm going to have to qualify this. If I'm just trying to get somewhere, I either have a schedule I'm trying to keep, like I'm going on I'm going to work, in which case, really long, drawn out, you know, trips, yeah, even if they're cheaper, don't make sense. I mean, that's the reason why we take planes instead of trains. And then, or we're going on vacation, in which case I don't want to spend, you know, 16 hours in the plane. I want to spend that time, you know, where I'm at, in which case, so now I'm hurrying again because I'm on vacation, which again is the same reason we take airplanes instead of trains.
Right. Oftentimes you're traveling. The point is to get there.
Yeah.
Not the trip itself.
Yeah. And so my thought would actually be that the price is at a point where, you know, unless you had a big change in expectations of price, I feel like you're actually at a price point that most people are willing to accept in order to get there at the speed that they're getting there. I think that this would be a good way to lower the cost of, you know, traditional flights, you know, as a hybrid type thing.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
But I don't think that people are going to go, I don't think people are going to switch over to a very slow, but very cheap form of transportation because those exist and people don't use them. Yeah.
True. Well, and I think part of it, they're just not like extremely cheaper.
Right.
Still expensive. You know, but if you could get it to where it was just like, whoa, that's a lot cheaper. I know like companies, when they're shipping products, oftentimes they'll go over boat because it's a lot cheaper. It takes a lot longer as opposed to air freight. But
yeah, it's true. Now, this is an interesting question. Let's go the other direction, if we've got time. How expensive would it be before you wouldn't take advantage of speed savings? Like, let's say you could teleport and you could get there in like 5 minutes. How expensive would it have to be before you'd be like, not worth it, you know, for vacation? What if it were twice as expensive? You know, it's a $600 round trip.
I'm doing it.
You'd pay $1,200 to get there in to get to New York in 5 minutes if you had to go there for like work.
Yeah, so we're talking like going with $600 to get to New York, which is expensive, by the way.
No. That's your round trip there and back. $600. Is that expensive?
It's expensive.
Okay, good to know.
That's if you're buying it that week.
Okay. Yeah.
It's $600. If you pay attention, you could do it for half that.
Oh, nice.
But whatever. Let's just say it is $1,200.
Yeah.
Or $1,000. Right.
Okay. I mean, perfect.
Enough where you're gonna pause for half a second before buying the buy button.
Yeah.
I'd like to think. Well, I don't even know. Like 5 minutes. What if you just it cuts the time in half? You know, if we're sticking with this, you can get there in 3 hours or an hour
for $1,000. It's funny to me. I would not go for that. Twice if you.
But like you said, you're not gonna do. If it took you twice as long, it would take you 12 hours. But
yeah,
the cost is like it's $100. It's $50 maybe. It's a tank of gas.
Yeah,
but it's gonna take you 12 hours. You wouldn't do that. You'd rather pay the. You know, the $300.
Oh, man.
Take the six-hour flight.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting one because, you know what? Now that you're actually putting times and numbers to it the other direction, too, it gives you a little more context because I feel like I wouldn't pay $1,200 for Like, and I think it's better if we just, like, cut it, if we do the doubles and cuts, you know?
Sure.
So it's like, it costs twice as much to go half the distance, but it, you know...
Half the time, yeah.
Half the time. So it's going to take 12 hours, it'll cost $150 round trip.
Okay.
It'll take 6 hours, it'll cost $300, or it'll take, you know, cost $600 to go...
3 hours.
3 hours. Man... That's tough. That's a tough one. I actually would think at that point...
Or for $1,200, you can get there in an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, this is classic supply and demand.
What's actually, this is... I wasn't even going to bring it up, but it just seems really appropriate. Google launched a HipMunk competitor, essentially. It's a
searching thing.
It's kind of...
It lists flight times, yeah, but HipMunk is awesome.
Okay, HipMunk is very cool. But what I really like about it is that you don't have to add a destination. You can add dates and your price range, and it will tell you where you can fly to. Yeah, so if you're looking just to get away for the weekend, you don't really care where to, you just want it, you have a budget, that's one of the cool things that it will do.
Because I honestly, because you were flying, and I was thinking about it, I was like, ugh. It would be cool just to, like, see where could I go in the world. And, one of my flight apps updated, and it said it listed on it. It included a list of all arriving and departing flights. And I've often joked, like, walking through the airport with Jesse, I'll be like, want to go to Tanzania instead? And,
yeah.
You know, because you're walking by that gate, and they're loading. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool. Just be like, where are we going today?
Yeah.
But
dude, I actually...
So, all right, so how do I do this? Let's see here. I am leaving from...
So, you want a weird story. I actually sat next to a couple on the way to Heathrow flying out of New York. I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, we went to the airport and with a weekend's worth of clothes and bought round tickets to the first place that seemed interesting. And you picked London? What the heck is wrong with you? Like, whoa, that's awesome. I wish I had that kind of money and free time.
Cool. But, okay, so how do I do this?
So it's pretty easy.
Round trip, Portland, left the two blank.
Yeah, so two blank, and then pick your dates, whatever you want your dates to be. And then go down to price underneath that. It says any price, and scroll down to your budget. So I'm going to $50. Yeah. And I can't fly anywhere on.
For $200 I could go to Boise City. Medford, I could go to San Francisco. That's okay, so it shows you the dots. Let's see, can I go anywhere else? Nope. What do the hash lines mean?
The hash lines? I don't know. What are hash lines?
Okay, let's spend a little more. $400. You can go to Fairbanks, Alaska. Okay, that's cool. All of
you. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's kind of cool.
For under $100, man, you can go to Seattle.
They only show you the big... Well, I guess they don't need to show you every single airport. Just getting close.
Exactly.
I could go to for $357. No, for $400, I could go to Omaha. That's my distance. Or Dallas. Omaha. So they seem to be implying that I have to spend more to get to New York.
Yeah.
For $600, I can get there.
That's what I'm saying, man. New York.
It takes a little bit to get to Honolulu. What are the cheddar? Go to Anchorage? Huh. That's cool. Okay, all right. That's cool. I'll admit it.
Thank you.
Or I could get a list of flight times. I like it that it's really fast. It doesn't have to be like these searching.
Yeah. That I am in complete agreement with you on that.
Okay, all right. This is cool. Google.com/flights. You can see it. Play around with it. I'll admit it. But anyways... I don't know what I would have to pay to transport or how much I'd be willing to pay to transport faster. If I could lounge about, and if they figured out how to make it reasonably entertaining, I would go for cheaper but longer.
Yeah.
You know, if they've got, like, video on demand, I could do a pretty long flight.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Not worry about it. If they don't have that, I might want to pay a little faster.
You know what I could actually would be able to justify the longer flights with? I'm less about the video on demand, way more about the walking space. If I had more space, I'd actually be willing to pay, you know, I'd be willing to exchange time. Well, I would be, yeah, I don't know what I'd be willing to exchange. I have no idea.
It's tough. Well, I mean, and part of it too is the average American's vacation is like a week.
Yeah.
Somewhere. And so getting there fast is definitely a premium. If you were going somewhere for like a month, you're like, yeah, whatever. You know,
yeah,
take a day to get there. I don't care. I'll get there eventually, and it's not going to be a material impact on my vacation.
Right.
You know,
but we don't live in Europe. We live in America because we're free.
Yeah. That's right. We are. Huh. Interesting. Cool. That's a cool little service. I like what they're doing. All right. What I would do if it were me, I guess, is I would use this to get my price ranges, and then I would probably head over to Hipmunk and look for actual flights. Because I just like the way they visually display the flights, which knowing Google, they do it too somewhere. I just haven't figured it out yet. because that's what I like about Hipmunk is just the way they show the different flights and how to select them in their filters and stuff.
Right.
They also have hotels. Interesting. Google.com/flights. Cool. All right. That's legitimately awesome. I'll probably waste some hours on that one now.
Yes, sir.
Go to Mexico City for $5.22.
It's not bad.
Man. Or Cabo San Lucas for $4.39. I can do that for cheaper.
Yeah, don't do that, man. Get it as part of the holistic, all-inclusive, man. That was the way to do it.
That's what I hear. I like it. Hey, man. Good podcast. Welcome back. Glad to be in America on this 4th of July weekend where we're celebrating freedom from technological tyranny and the British.
Yeah, who are coming.
Yeah, not anymore. They're on board.
Well, not to mention the fact that at that point, technically, we were British too.
Shh.
Yeah.
But I don't think about that. So cool, man. I appreciate it. Like I said, I am it's summertime, so I will be traveling the next two Sundays.
Oh, man.
I think I'll actually be in Colorado next Sunday. I got to figure out how we're going to do this, but I don't know. There just may not be any show cuts because you may have to do all the processing.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I'm not very good at that.
We'll see. We'll figure it out. No big deal. So, everybody, thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it. My name is James Furlow, and my traveling salesman brother is Matthew Furlow. And so we will talk next time. Google Flights.
Yeah, man.
What's the most
they'll
let me spend? Any price. $14.50. Where can I go for $14.50?